If you have your Bible, please open it to Romans chapter 3.
We're
going to look at a long passage of scripture from Romans chapter
3.
We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 20.
Go for
it.
Ko inona ary ny tombony ananan'i Jiosy ary inona koa ny soa avy amin'ny famorana be ihany amin'ny zavatra rehetra. Voalohany, izy no notolorana ny tenin'Andriamanitra ho adidiny. Fa ahoana kosa ary, raha tsy ninona ny sasany, moa ny tsy finoanay va ahafoana amin'ny fahamarinan'Andriamanitra? Sanatria izany, aoka Andriamanitra no marina fa ny olona rehetra kosa ho mpandainga ary araka ny voasoratra hoe mba ho amarinina amin'ny teninao ianao ary ahery rehefa manana ady. Fa raha ny tsy fahamarinantsika no mampiseho ny fahamarinan'Andriamanitra, ahoana ary no lazaintsika? Tsy marina nga Andriamanitra izay mandatsaka ny fahatezerany? Miteny araka ny fanaon'ny olona aho, sanatria izany. Fa raha izany, ataon'Andriamanitra ahoana no fitsara izao tontolo izao? Fa raha ny fahamarinan'Andriamanitra kosa no nitombo tamin'ny laingako ho voninahina, nahoana no mbola tsaraina ho mpanota indray? Ary nahoana no tsy anao ratsy hiavian'ny soa isika araka ny anendrikendrehana anay sy ny filazan'ny sasany anay? Marina ny fanameloana ireny. Ahoana ary? Manakavaly va isika? Tsia tsy akory. Fa efa voalazantsika raha teo ho mpanota avokoa na ny Jiosy na ny Jentilisa. Araka ny voasoratra hoe, tsy misy marina na dia iray akory aza. Tsy misy izay mahafantatra. Tsy misy izay mitady an'Andriamanitra. Samy nany avokoa izy rehetra. Samy tsy mahasoa avokoa izy rehetra. Tsy misy izay manao ny tsara na dia iray akory aza. Fasana misokatra ny tendany, ny lelany no anaovan'ny fitaka, ny poiziny menarana no ao ambavan'ny molony. Feno ozina ny sy fangidina ny vavany. Ny tongony mimona an-datsadra, fandravana sy fandringanana no eo amin'ny alehany. Ary ny lalan'ny fiadanana dia tsy fantany. Tsy misy fahatahorana an'Andriamanitra eo anoloan'ny masony. Ary fantatsika fa izay zavatra lazain'ny lalàna dia lazainy amin'izay manana ny lalàna mba ho voatampina avokoa ny vava rehetra ka hiaran'ny fitsaran'Andriamanitra izao tontolo izao. Satria tsy misy nofo ho amarinina amin'ny asan'ny lalàna eo anatrehany, fa ny lalàna no azahoana ny fahalalàna marina ny amin'ny Iota.
Heavenly Father, help us to understand your word this morning.
Ry Andriamanitra ray eo ampio izahay mba hahazo ny teninao amin'ity maraina ity.
May your word come into our hearts.
Aoka ny teninao ho tonga ty anatin'ny fonay.
May it produce good fruit in our lives.
Ary aoka ny izany tondra vokatra tsara eo amin'ny fiainanay.
May we be more than hearers of your word.
Aoka ny izahay mba hiotra ny amin'ny hoe ho mpiaino fotsiny ihany ny teninao.
Help us to do what your word says.
Ampio izahay mba hanao an'izay zavatra tenenin'ny teninao.
In Jesus' name.
Amin'ny anaran'i Jesosy.
Amen.
Amen.
I just prayed a strange prayer.
Avo avy nanao vavaka ohatra ny hafahafa ako teo.
Saying, help us to do what your word says.
Ozy izao hoe ampio izahay anao an'izay zavatra tenenin'ny teninao.
Right after reading a passage that says it's no use, the law, obeying the law doesn't save you.
Ate vo teo ny fitsika namaky ilay andaran-tsoratra masina hoe ny lalàna dia tsy afaka ny hahavonjy anao.
See, Paul anticipates some questions from the Jews.
He says,
well, they might be saying, well, what advantage is there if the law can't save you?
Deus is hoe inara ny tombony raha ohatra izany lalanaka tsy afaka ny vonjenao.
If being a Jew or being a religious person, if being a moral person doesn't make you better,
raha ohatra izany ka le hoe mahajiosy na le maholona ara-moraly anao tsy afaka ny ahatonga anao ohatra ny hoe ho tsara kokoa,
then what's the point?
De inona izany ny antony izay?
Is the law then bad? Is it a waste of time?
Le lalana ve izany ratsy mpandanim-potoana ve izany le izy?
Paul never suggests that there's anything wrong with the law.
I Paul atsin ten mintsiny izy hoe misy zavatra tsy mety ny amin'ny lalana.
He just explains that the law isn't able to save people.
Fananazava fotsiny izy hoe ny lalana dia tsy afaka ny vonjin'iza n'izy.
But he says it's better for the Jews. There is an advantage to having the word of God.
Fa hozy izy hoe tsara kokoa ny Jews any manana tompony izy ny amin'ny fahalalana ny tenin'Andriamanitra.
It says in verse 1, what advantage is there?
De eo amin'ny andininy voalohany hozy izy hoe ko inona ary ny tompony ananany?
And then in verse 2 it says, much in every way. Is there an advantage to having the word of God? He says, definitely. And then in verse
9,
he said, what shall we conclude? Are we any better? Not at all. Now this doesn't seem to add up. He says you've got an advantage, but you haven't benefited, you're not better off. The Jews are better off because they have the law, but they're not better off at all. It's like, it doesn't make sense. Until you start to realize what the real problem is. The real problem is not with the law. It's with the people. And so he goes on to show them that even the Old Testament finds them guilty. Of not fulfilling the law. In fact, he says to them that they failed in numerous ways. And in the end, you're going to get to this point where he says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's a little bit later on. Just a few verses. And the idea is that the law presents you with God's moral standard. And have you ever seen a target that you shoot at? In the old days, like when you play darts, I don't know if you've seen people playing darts. Have you played pool at least?
So,
do you go to karaoke? What's wrong with you? Where all the sinners are, where you need to go preach the gospel. Where they sell beer. And outside they drink Tokagasi. Inside those places sometimes there's a dartboard. I'm telling you that for the very moral guys here who never went there. So when you go to play darts, or if you shoot a bow and arrow at a target, so So the target's over there, that's God's law. It's what you're aiming for. And then what happens is with all your strength you throw that dart or you shoot the arrow. But the target's just too high and too far. And so if the target is on that wall over there, imagine, I'm looking for an arrow. I found one. There's my arrow. And I use all my strength to pull the bow back and I shoot. And by the way, I'm an Olympic gold medalist, so I'm strong.
It flies.
And it's looking good. And then it's not looking good. And then it just falls down. And the target's still up there. See, when Paul says, all have sinned and fall short, that's what falling short is. It's coming down before you reach the target.
And
so he's saying that the law is good, but people don't actually obey the law. Even if they try their best. And the religious person or the Jew is very proud of how much they tried. They're very impressed with their morality. But Paul's saying it doesn't help you. Because even the best morality falls short, someone still sinned. And they might say, what? We sinned? I mean, we've got the promises of God. God made very big promises to Abraham. And Paul then gives them a list of Old Testament quotations. He does that in the second half of the passage we read. From verse 10 to verse 18, he uses Old Testament quotations, scripture, to show the Jews that they too have fallen short, that they also, even though they have the law, they haven't met the requirements of the law.
So
in verse 10, he says, there's no one righteous, not even one. It's a quote.
It's
from Psalm 14:1. And also Ecclesiastes 7:20. In verse 11 it says, no one understands, no one seeks God. And verse 12, all have turned away, they've become worthless, there's no one who does good, not even one. And so that sounds extreme. Because how can you say there's no one that does good? Firstly, he means there's no one who does only good. See, if you think you've never sinned, You're in serious trouble. The problem is we don't even realize how easily we fall short of the glory of God. So let's say you do a good deed. It's the classic one is helping the old lady to cross the road. So many of our good deeds are actually so that we can look good in the eyes of others. You're about to do something, but you wait until you have an audience. I'm
going
to put the chairs straight,
but
only when there's someone else who will notice that I'm putting the chairs straight. I help the old lady across the road, because the girl over there will see what a good guy I am. There's some reason that you will benefit. And even one of the really devious, tricky reasons is that you will feel good about yourself. In other words, so that out of pride, I can say, I'm a good person. So there are many good things you can do. And Jews and religious people always want to get some credit for it. My father, when he was alive, he worked for a Jewish man. And his boss, the Jewish guy, wanted to make a donation to the synagogue. He wanted to give money. He was a wealthy businessman. So he wanted to make a big donation. But his condition was they put a little brass thing on the wall with his name.
Why?
It's a good deed, but it's a bad deed, because its goal is to make him look good. So in that sense, there's not many people who act completely without self-interest. A great deal of what we do for ourselves. But here's the mission. Go to Tamatav. Go into the sea.
And
swim to Australia. You're
going
to manage? Probably not. One guy who's a good swimmer might make it a mile or kilometer or two out into the sea. A really good swimmer might make it 10, 20 kilometers. And then he will drown. And the guy who's really, really a good person, he does better than the other guy. But both of them fall short of the glory of God. And so Paul is really warning the Jews not to depend on the law. Because they fall short, and he shows them how bad it is.
So
he quotes these scriptures. In verse 13, their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit, the poison of vipers is on their lips.
Now
look carefully at what he's saying. He's become like a doctor now, he's naming body parts. Your throat,
tendon,
your tongue, your lips,
lelan, mult,
your speech,
ni ten,
that's what he's saying,
san zavatra tenen,
is contaminated by sin. In verse 11 he said, no one understands. Your mind has been messed up by sin. There's no one who seeks God, he said. Your ambitions. So your goal and direction in life has been messed up by sin. Verse 14, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. So what you do, what you say, what you do. In Romans 3 verse
18,
there's no fear of God before their eyes. Your eyes, what you look for, what you look at. What you want, in other words,
has
been messed up by sin. Throat,
tend,
lips,
mult,
tongue,
lel,
mouth,
vav,
eyes,
mas,
mind,
sign,
feet,
tungt,
speech,
mftenau,
thinking,
nirtert,
actions,
nietskatau.
All messed up by sin. So even the religious Jew, Paul has now condemned him using scripture from the Old Testament. His very pride, the Jew's pride, was having the law. And Paul uses the word of God to show them they've fallen short of God. But in the middle of this passage, something very interesting, one of the questions that gets asked. If following the law doesn't get us there, what about God's promises? Does our unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? And Paul says, no. Let every man be a liar, but God remains true. Even if every single person fails, God keeps his promises. Now, he elaborates on that whole concept in chapter 9, 10, and 11 about Israel. That God promised certain things, and even though Israel was unfaithful, God remains faithful.
Now,
we can take that and apply it to our own lives. This whole section I looked at today, brings to a conclusion Paul's argument for the sinfulness of man. That no matter who you are, you need a savior. And no matter how bad things seem, God is still faithful. Now this for me is incredibly positive. Because God fulfilling his promises does not depend on us. So many of us grow up in churches that tell you all the rules you have to follow. And we get taught more and more morality. And religion. And all those things can be good, but they cannot save. In fact, in the end, he gets to the last verse we looked at. And he makes the grand conclusion. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. Verse
20.
What you're supposed to realize, the Jews had the advantage. They knew what they were supposed to do. You have the advantage when you have the Word of God, because it shows you where you were supposed to be. But you can't get there in your own strength. The law can't make you righteous. So why did I pray when I started, God help us to obey your word? Because the only way you and I will obey the word of God is if we have the help. Of being born again. Of having a new heart, a new spirit, and a new nature. So when I prayed for God to help us obey his word, I'm actually praying for God to save us. Because it's only if the Spirit of God comes and works inside of you that the law of God gets written on your heart and you begin to understand what it means to obey his word properly. And then I get in to the water and I find a boat waiting there. And Jesus says, get on board. I'm sailing to Australia. And I go with him all the rest of the way. And we as believers need to understand that the law and morality will not get us across to the other side. But Jesus himself can. Later, Paul is going to explain why. He's going to explain that Jesus fulfilled all righteousness.
So why
did the Jews have an advantage? They at least knew what direction to aim. The law was supposed to make you aware of sin. But that's as far as it can take you. After that, you need a savior. You can't save yourself. And you could be sitting in this room today. And you've gone to church many years. But you know it didn't fix you. You followed religious processes. But you know it doesn't change you on the inside. That's exactly the point of this text. Whether you have the law, whether you know about spirituality, it doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. The good news is God's faithfulness stands. When he comes to you and he says, I'm still going to bless you, that blessing is unhindered by your weakness. Because that blessing is fulfilled in Christ. You want the blessing of God? It's fulfilled in Christ. You don't have to promise God you'll stop this, promise God you'll stop that.
You must
stop sinning because you love God, not because you're earning some promise from Him. Too many of us try to stop doing wrong because we think we'll make ourselves right with God.
It's
not
going
to work. Jesus makes us right with God. And then because we write with God, we leave our sins behind. God's faithfulness comes first. And then we learn to be faithful to Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to be more faithful to you. I know that I fail you, Lord. But when I've been trying to swim across the ocean, I realize it's impossible. Jesus, I want to thank you that you make it possible for me to be in right relationship with God. Thank you, Jesus, that you provide the righteousness that we need. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.